to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 14 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. In this week's episode, we decided to take a little step away from the parks and the park life and really dig into our Disney nerdiness by discussing something really where it all began, the Disney movies. So this week, we're going to talk about all of our favorite Disney movies from the past and present. So let's get started. This is Jimmy.
This is Farrah.
This is Ed.
Here we go.
It happened on one of them zippity-doo-dah days. Now, that's the kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song jump right out of it. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
Okay, so to start our conversation this week, we're going to talk about some of the Disney animated films that we consider classic. Now, a classic film for our conversation, what do we decide, guys? 2000 back, perhaps?
Yeah, probably 2000 back, really getting into when to the hand-drawn animation.
Right, and basically where the whole Disney company started. Walt Disney definitely made his fame with his animated films, so what better place to start?
Okay, well, this is easy for me. My absolute number one favorite animated full-length feature is Sleeping Beauty, hands down. I just think the colors are just so beautiful and the detail. And, I mean, it's like each frame is its own – you could frame it as a piece of artwork. I love it. And, of course, the story, you know. It's just really cool. I love that. That's my favorite. Followed closely behind The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which I guess is not a full-length animated feature, but it's one of the older hand-drawn cartoons, so I love that.
Jimmy, what about you? What do you have for a classic animated?
So my favorite hand-drawn animated full feature, it would be Beauty and the Beast. I was just at that age where I really just got to appreciate the art and really enjoyed the music, and it was kind of funny, but then you had some moments that were a little bit adult themed, and you know, they just do a really good job of tying those animated pictures together for all audiences. So and if I had to follow it up with a second, probably Peter Pan.
Good one.
Peter Pan's, yeah, that's a great classic attraction. classic attraction. That's a great classic film.
Oh, definitely.
I love the music. I love the music in Beauty and the Beast.
The music in Beauty and the Beast is fantastic. And yeah. I'm drawing a blank on his name. The guy that played the Candlestick, Lumiere. He passed away now. He played on Law and Order. What's his name?
Jerry Orbach.
Yeah, yes. Jerry Orbach. Yeah, he did such a fantastic job with that character. Just doing the voice work for that character was so fantastic.
Well, it kind of shows the small world I lived in, where I only knew him from Law & Order. And then when I heard he did the voice for Lumiere, I was kind of interested enough to do a little research and found how much of a big Broadway star he was, that it was, you know, very, very much worth kind of connecting the dots there.
Did you not know him from Dirty Dancing?
Oh, I did remember.
Oh, right.
I knew him in that.
No, yeah, nobody puts Baby in the corner.
He was also a mobster in some other movie, too. But, you know, basically Law & Order was the thing he made his fame, yeah, as far as I was concerned.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where that's probably where most people would know him from, would be Law & Order.
Oh, yeah, but he had an incredible singing career on Broadway. Who would have known?
Yeah, and if you watch him, and you watch the guy in Law & Order, he's kind of a burly cop type of guy. You wouldn't think Broadway doesn't come to mind. So
right, right. As far as a classic movie for me, you kind of nailed it with Peter Pan. I've always loved Peter Pan ever since I was a kid. And even as I got older and was able to see other movies and appreciate what they had in them, I really kind of came back to Peter Pan. It had so many different stories going on at once, and the animation in it kind of was incredible. It always stuck out to me, the goods and the bads, as far as what you could see the Lost Boys going through and everybody in that one. As far as another or a short or something like that, I kind of like, there's so many, that I would say almost any of the early Donald Duck shorts. You could throw almost any of them out there. The beginning of Donald Duck, I always really, really liked.
Do you have any animated, I guess the old school animated that you just really dislike? Any that you know, like, I've never been, and it's, I guess it's not really old, but I've never been a big fan of, like the, I guess it's the 80s ones, the Oliver and Company, Fox and the Hound, the Aristocats, which might not all be 80s, but it just seemed like that in the 70s, 80s period, it seemed like they just had a lull. And then Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and all those came back and
I mean, that was all because of Eisner, right? The one that really brought the company back around after that kind of lull.
Right. I think everybody was still recovering, believe it or not, after Walt and Roy passing away in the late 60s, that the 70s and early 80s, before they had that revival, was kind of a low point for sure. Yeah, a lot of those movies were basically coming out just to fill the movie theaters. What kind of saved Disney at that time, though, which I think got them through to The Little Mermaid and to The Lion King and such, was the beginning of the VCR. One of the things you don't realize today, and it's kind of really important, is that when Disney made money on their movies, they made it on the release of their movie or their cartoon the first time around, and then they would actually have to go across the country in a re-release. Whenever you look at the history of any of these movies, like Pinocchio or Peter Pan or something, you could see it was released in 1940-something. Then you see the re-release dates every maybe 5-6 years later. Other than that, you never saw the movie. So they made a lot of money by doing those re-releases. People were able to take advantage of that. In kind of the same way, they made so much money off the VCR tapes when they started selling those in the beginning, because people realized they don't have to wait around till it kind of gets re-released again.
And they did. They did so well with that and had such an impact. And I don't know how much truth there is to this, but from what I understand, they were the reason that the VHS cassette succeeded and the Beta did not. Is because Disney backed the VHS, and so the Betamax kind of fell to the wayside.
Now, how about that? I'd like to see proof on that. But yeah, I can believe it. They definitely had the market of movies out there. They had the big library.
Big old library of movies that people grew up with that really would like to own and experience again, not just the latest thing on, you know, at the movie theater.
Right. Okay, well, I tell you what kind of, what do they have new animation that's really kind of, do you think's kind of a good representation for the company?
I really like what they did with Princess and the Frog. I mean, it kind of, it's a little close to home because it's based in New Orleans, so I kind of like it for that. But it also brings you back to one of those fairy tale stories, which after a while they had kind of gotten away from that. But going back to hand-drawn animation and that fairy tale story, I think they did a really, really good job with it.
We really like the music from that one. We could listen to that anytime.
It has a great sound. Actually, I actually bought the soundtrack for it. It has a really good soundtrack.
Which I guess that kind of ties in, because a lot of the most recent movies they've had incredible soundtracks, including what I understand with Frozen.
And you know, it's another little interesting fact is that I actually know the guy that the lightning bug. Oh, what's his name?
Oh, right. Oh. From Princess Frog.
Princess and the Frog. I actually know the guy that character was kind of taken from. Farrah might not know it, but she knows him too. It's actually my mom and dad's neighbor, Mark. His brother Reggie. He's a swamp tour boat captain. And some of the animators and all came down here when they were in production of the movie, and they did a swamp tour, and just to really get out there and kind of get some of the languages down and get some of the scenery and stuff like that for the animation. And if you watch it and you listen to him talk, and if you knew this guy, you'd be like, Wow, they really did take a lot from him.
Oh, that's so cool.
I did not know that. Wow.
There was actually an article, Vera, and it didn't mention his name, but it talked about their tour boat captain and all, and how they got a lot of it's Raymond. Raymond. How they got a lot of his a lot of his speak and the way he says things from him.
Huh. Wow. We're talking about the newer animated movies. I'm not really sure what I like those. Probably, if you exclude the Pixar ones, from the Disney ones, I'd have to say Tangled, I guess.
I was about to say Tangled's a very good representation of what they've done in the past.
To me, it's all about, my main draw is the story, and then followed by the art, the artistry of the animation and the music, and it's got to have it all. But I think Tangled, could more because of the I like the storyline better. But Brave, which I think it has a great concept as far as storyline goes, but artistry. I love the colors of Brave. Oh, it's just such a beautiful movie.
It really is. You're right.
Right, and that actually translated well to the parks, believe it. I couldn't believe how well it did with Meridia in the park and her meet and greets and stuff like that.
Yeah, they've got a good little area for her. And they've also got a great area for from Tangled. And we've talked about it in the previous show, that little, it's just a little restroom area, but it's...
Yeah.
It's completely themed to Tangled. It's amazing.
Yeah, very cool. So now I wonder if the movies ever would talk to each other about what they get in the parks. Like the Pirates has their ride and Peter Pan has his ride and Tangled has their bathroom. But if you don't have anything, so it's better than nothing.
Yeah. What does the Aristocats have? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
What does Oliver and company have? Yeah, nothing.
Right. Oh yeah, you got to work for it. As far as new animation for me, I'm going to go back as far as 2007, and I really, really liked Meet the Robinsons. I thought it was a very, very cool movie, had a great story to it, and a great lesson. And just to catch that whole quote about keep moving forward and see how that came from Walt himself, I think that kind of added a little touch of the past to the movie, too.
It absolutely did. You're absolutely correct. I was going to say that the keep moving forward thing, the whole theme of it. It comes directly from Walt himself. Was a pretty cool touch, that movie.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. So that stood out for me as far as something new. Don't get me wrong. Everything else that's come out, I always appreciate any of the Disney movies. And, Farrah, you brought up a good fact about leaving Pixar out. However, I think now we should start talking about Pixar. What do you think is one of the Pixar movies that's come out that you liked or maybe did something that stood out?
Well, that's really tough for me because I mean, the Pixar ones, I just love Pixar. And if I had to pick one, my absolute favorite Pixar, it would probably be Cars, because I love the whole concept of the whole other world. With the way they tied everything in with the cars, but human, making them human, and the colors, and it being out west, and the music. To me, it just was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. It just hit everything. It was funny. It had an awesome storyline. It had great, great animation, great music. I just loved it. So it would have to be Cars. But that being said, I love Nemo. I love, all of the Toy Stories, strangely enough, especially the third one, which usually doesn't happen. Usually you love the first one. I'm crazy about the Pixar movies. Love them pretty much all. Even though I have actually not seen Planes? I haven't seen that, so I can't speak to that.
Neither have I, surprisingly. Just haven't had a chance to, it seems like.
I haven't seen it either. I hadn't heard good things about it, though.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was really pushed much. Like, I didn't really feel like Disney put a whole lot behind people into it.
Just so you know, although Planes is a takeoff from Cars, Planes is not Pixar.
It's not?
No, it's Disney.
Yeah. It's not
you're
a, they took it. They kind of took it from. They kind of took it away from Cars a little bit, but it's not a Pixar movie.
Ah. But well, that's why I didn't see it.
They did have the Mater short that came out on the DVD for Cars 2. That kind of would make you think it was Pixar, though, because it was, you know, with the planes and things like that.
Yeah.
But and they already have another movie coming out, I think, in 2014, Planes.
And actually, really? according to this website, Brave is Pixar.
Brave is Pixar?
I can just go by the information in front of me.
Revelation.
You're right. It is Pixar. That's weird. Okay.
And Planes well, is not. So there you go.
Well, that's why I liked it.
Awesome.
An expert, I'm not, but I know I like Pixar.
Yo, you know, you. I mean, I. The only reason I knew Planes wasn't Pixar is because of. I think it was last week, a week before, we were talking about the resorts and the little games that they play, like poolside at the value resorts. Well, when we were there last time, they did a trivia thing, and it was name all the Pixar movies. And I didn't realize Planes wasn't a Pixar movie, but it sure isn't.
Huh.
There you go. Learning all the time. What Pixar movie do you like?
My all-time favorite Pixar movie would have to be Up.
Oh, how could I forget Up? Oh, wow.
Farrah likes them all.
Oh, my goodness. Up. No, you're right. You go ahead. I'm not gonna throw up. Go ahead.
I mean, Up has everything. I mean, oh. it's happy, it's sad, it's funny, it's
all
silly.
Within the first 2 minutes.
I'm telling you, you go from laughing to crying to you go through every range of emotion within the first 5 minutes of the film. It's incredible.
It probably had one of my most memorable color shots with the house taking off and all the balloons and such.
Was that incredible when you saw it in the theater? It was incredible.
Yeah.
And now you said it. You said it three times, so I'm going to say that's another one we forgot about. The Incredibles.
I don't think we forgot as much. I like The Incredibles, and I'm hoping for the sequel. Although I don't put it on my top four or five Pixars.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Would you put Incredibles ahead of WALL-E?
No, Wally's my top. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wally is my favorite Pixar animation with less than 10 words.
Okay. Was that all there was in it?
No, I don't know.
No, there was plenty because all the the people were talking.
Yeah, no, I'm just joking.
No, I thought Wally was great for a lot of the same reasons you guys are saying for those other movies that are from Pixar.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, it's great storyline, great characters. The robots are incredibly interesting, and it's one of those, you know, futures. The store they have, By and Large?
Yeah.
It's the total, you know, Walmart wannabe. It's crazy how much some of that ties together.
Yeah.
And the story ends with a great little sign of hope. I'd like to see there be a sequel to that one someday too. Although that one would be a little tougher, I think, to do a part two to.
Yeah. I like the message of WALL-E, and I liked it, but I would actually put The Incredibles before that. I liked The Incredibles better. I just I thought it was hysterical the aging overweight. A superhero trying to get it back, get his groove back. And then the kick butt mom superhero. I'd loved it.
Oh, you know. Right, so, great movie.
So let me throw another one in the mix real quick. Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Pixar?
That is Pixar.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And Ratatouille has a place in the parks. So it yes. obviously beats out The Incredibles.
And I've met Ratatouille. Yep. I've met Remy.
I heard Remy's gone, or he is leaving.
Oh, what? No more rats in the French restaurant?
Yeah.
What?
I could have swore I read an article that was his last week or something like that. We'll have to do a little research on that.
They must have ran out of the veal.
But, yeah, no, I'd seen videos of that. Never saw it. You saw it live, Farrah?
I saw it live. Me and my kids saw it live, and it was, they just, they thought it was awesome. Awesome that they were having a, getting to meet a rat in the French restaurant.
Yeah, they should have been at the vegetable stand I worked at Jersey City, and they would have saw the rats there.
Right. Well, you know, if, you know, we were talking about, before we started recording, we were talking about sound effects and, you know, having sound effects and being able to identify them. If you're lucky enough, you might get to hear the rat that lives in my new house rental. Every once in a while, I get to hear him. But anyway, but yes, Ratatouille is so good too. Oh, I don't know.
Pixar definitely has a lot of good movies. It's really kind of hard to pick one or two really, really good ones. I mean, you could kind of say the whole collection. One of the best things about Pixar is that they kind of continue on the gags. Like, we get to see the Pizza Planet truck in almost every Pixar movie out there.
Oh, yeah.
If they can. We get to hear John Ratzenberger in every Pixar movie that's available to us. So they kind of carry through with a lot of things. And the other awesome part about Pixar flicks is they cross-advertise. We saw the little stuffed animal of Nemo in another movie. We saw, you know, different things that were kind of leading us on to let us know what we're going to see down the road and what we've seen in the past.
Well, that's something that they've continued a little bit when you go see Frozen.
Oh, good. Oh, I did see the Easter eggs from Frozen. I saw...
Pretty cool. Farrah, have you seen Frozen?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
I haven't seen the movie, and I don't think this will ruin it for anybody.
No, it's not going to hurt anything.
But the one picture I saw of a bunch of people walking into the castle, they had the back of the heads of Flynn and Rapunzel, which was very cool. And they don't do anything in the movie. It's just a really quick cut scene, so you're not.
Yeah, it's just one little spot. You see Flynn Rider and Rapunzel, and then there's another scene that you see Sugar Crush thing or something like that. That they do a little thing for Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, I did see that. It's like on a plate, like a dessert.
Yeah, it's like a dessert tray.
So they do, and they do that a lot, which is really cool to look for, and it kind of gives you an extra level of watching a movie, almost like the hidden Mickeys in the parks.
Oh, yeah, and also in Frozen, there's the hidden Mickey.
Oh, cool.
The dimensions of him, it's hard really to see that it's a Mickey, but the colors, I mean, are like, it's just like sitting on the shelf in this little store. But you can definitely tell what they were trying to do.
Well, Disney's made a lot of good animated movies. That's definitely where they got their start. However, they also moved into live-action movies, and they've got so many different categories of those that it kind of really rivals the animated movies. There are the early documentaries that the company came out with, which were incredible wildlife movies for the time. They had just literally live action actors doing a lot of good fantasy and fairy tale books. Robin Hood was a big movie in the beginning. And then they moved on into the 70s with a little bit more of the cooler movies. But the kids at the time loved them. We had some of the Herbies and the Men for Hyde movies. And then we moved into the current day movies with pirates and such. So for you guys, what do you think was your probably favorite, I guess, all time Disney live movie or series of movies? And what do you think is kind of maybe what your present day one is?
Okay. I'm going to go old school. I like Pollyanna. Let me take that back. I'm going to actually pick a actress as my series of favorite old school ones. And that would be, oh goodness, I can't even think of her name, but it's Pollyanna. But the Pollyanna, Parent Trap, all those movies. I love those.
So Haley Mills movies.
Haley Mills, yes. Oh. Now, I don't know that the Parent Trap's Disney, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But all her little movies, I just love them. You know, and Pollyanna is just so sweet, and you know, and with the grumpy old lady that she eventually wins over because, you know, she's just so sweet. I love that movie.
Wasn't there another one called Thomasina?
Yes, yes.
With
yep,
her?
Yep, there was. Yep, all of those. I love all of those movies. And then the kind of more modern day live action, I like the, and this is not maybe the most, your first one that you would think of, but The Sorcerer's Apprentice. I love the, you know, Nicolas Cage and the little nerd guy. Yes, I love the little nerd guy as the Sorcerer's Apprentice. I just thought it was hysterical. I loved it. Him trying to win over the girl. And yeah, I thought it was really good.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed the story. I think I own it. So I liked it enough to go buy it. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a really good job with that movie. I don't think it did real well at the box office, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I mean, I thought it was excellent. Yeah, fun.
And they had enough things that kind of threw you off, and enough things that were familiar that it just really made it. They you know, just having the scene with the dancing mops and stuff like that, or the mops out of control. But yeah, definitely a good movie.
You know, as far as older ones, I've got a few, and it's hard for me to name a favorite. I really, really like Johnny Tremaine.
Oh, right.
That's an old one, but that's a really good one. I really like the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Right, that is a classic. That's definitely high on the list.
And I'm also a big fan of, which it's hard just to get a copy of now, but I also really like Song of the South. I thought it's a very, very good movie, and it's not just necessarily a live action. I guess it would be a hybrid.
Yes, it is. You know, hard to get a copy of that one.
Yeah, they don't release it anymore. Nope. But it is a good movie. It's very, very well done.
Yeah, all those movies you mentioned definitely are worth the worth a look. The 20,000 Leagues, I think I saw the other day on the Disney Nerds Facebook page. Mr. Sherwood, I forget his first name, had posted something about 20,000 Leagues, where Roy, for the first time, started letting Walt get his way with some money. He saw the value of making these live-action movies and how much money they would make off of them. So I think 20,000 Leagues at that time pushed $3 million. Which is an incredible amount of money for the 50s, 60s, whenever that came out.
Yeah. Oh, man, the new one was just tough. I think some of my favorite ones are the National Treasure movies. Mm-hmm. I've heard rumors of them doing a third one, but the two National Treasure movies I think are really, really good. I like all the American history, all the history in it. I don't know how true all of the history is, but it's... I'm sure they took some license with it, but I do enjoy both of those movies.
Yeah, I love the little history bits. Like you said, I don't know how factual most of it is, but it makes for a really good story.
Oh, it definitely does. And I kind of almost have to stand back for a second to acknowledge that some of our best new movies are Nicolas Cage movies.
Yes.
How about that? Okay, as far as a classic movie for me, Swiss Family Robinson wins out hands down. Again, it's because I've seen that movie so many times as a kid and couldn't wait to see that movie every time, and then just have it reinforced by going to Walt Disney World and seeing the Swiss Family Treehouse. It hit home exactly what the movie was about, where they lived, how they lived. Certain things were different. You could definitely see that. But still, it kind of drove that story home. So we really liked that. And with the Haley Mills movies that Farrah mentioned, the tie-in, because it was her father as the father in the Swiss Family Robinson movie.
John, did you know that?
I think it's John Mills. I'm not positive.
Wow.
But, okay, so that was my classic as far as that goes. As we came into the 70s, I really, really liked those early movies that they had. We had the Love Bug movies, and we had the Kurt Russell high school movies, Medford High and all that, the Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes, I think, was one of them. So they were fun movies. And they were, again, because growing up at the time with no VCRs, that was kind of a treat for us. We would get them at school and see them, or at the rec center. And very, very fun memories then.
When you go to the park, do you go to the Swiss Family Treehouse every time?
Not every time, but almost every time. We'll hit it.
Really?
We hit it almost every other time. We really like going up through there. And, you know, it's the Swiss Family House is fun to go through, and they do change things every so often. But what's fun is you do get some views from there that you don't really think about. You could see into the park, and you could see the castle from up top there. And depending on the type of day you go up there, you can kind of get some good pictures too.
I hadn't been on that thing in probably
the first time you ever
years.
Went.
Well, yeah, 5 or 6 years, 7 years. I don't know. It's been a while.
Right. No,
it's been a while.
And we do have our limits. I mean, if there's any type of line or if we have to wait to walk through it, well, no, we're not going to go up. Nothing worse than getting stuck on a line that's not moving when you're way up on top.
Well, you know, you brought up a couple of really good reasons to go. I mean, this has been my outlook on Swiss Family Treehouse. I went, like, the first time I went to the park, maybe a couple times since then. But, you know, except for the last 2 years, if it's hot or, you know, you're always exhausted. Basically, we walk past it and we point, oh, look, there's all the first time Disney goers.
And Ed.
It's like there's all the people that have never been to Disney World and Ed. But you brought up actually some really good reasons to go again. I can tell you next time I go, I will absolutely go again because of the things you brought up to look for, being, you know, the views of the castle, them changing things and some, you know, it. Maybe being a good spot to take other pictures, but then also I'm in a lot better shape than I was the last few times that I've gone to Disney World. All the other times I've gone to Disney World. So all that, the stair climbing and it doesn't bother me like it used to. So I'm able to go. So I'm definitely going to do it next time.
Yeah. Very cool. Glad to hear it. So, you know, I mean, there's plenty of other movies out there, and there's also, I mean, the Pirates franchise is incredible, and there's another one coming out in a couple of years that I think is just makes me want to go on the ride even more. What other franchises did they have out there? What's the big obvious one?
Marvel, the Marvel ones.
That's yes. Right. That's right. Now, that's going to be that's a moneymaker forever the way it's going right now.
So what's your favorite Marvel movie?
And
I'm talking recent. I'm talking about just recent, you know, recently. Let's.
So the Avengers, the Avengers Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that your favorite?
Well, no, I'm just saying that's what you're talking about because that's Thor, Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about since, you know, we can include the X-Men movies and Amazing Spider-Man and.
I guess Captain America.
Captain America?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Did you see the trailer for the Captain America the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I sure did. It looks good.
It's incredible. It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks good. Captain America.
What say you, Ed?
I'm going to go with the Iron Man 1.
That's a very good one.
That was the one that stood out, and it was the beginning, at least for this Marvel franchise, I thought. That really kind of stood out for me. I had to go back and see the other ones.
What would you say?
I'm kind of stuck. I would have to say it's the Avenger movie.
Right. Well, that put everything together.
But you know, I don't know that. I don't know if it's clear cut to me. I just watched the Wolverine for the second time, and it's a really really good movie. They did some really good movies in the X-Men franchise. X-Men First Class was really really good. And they're about to come out with another one next year on Days of Future Past. That's going to be the previews look pretty ridiculous. Looks pretty awesome.
Now they got to finally get over the contract limitations to bring more of that stuff in the park. I still think they're dealing with another amusement park chain that uses Marvel characters or something like that.
I'm thinking they're going to have to wait until the license is up, huh?
Right. Well, there are other franchises out there. One of the other big ones that kind of comes to mind is the Star Wars franchise. And we're already guaranteed 3 new movies. Looking forward to that like you couldn't believe. And,
oh, yeah.
And I'm looking hopefully for some more park tie-ins to that.
Yeah, I'm actually way more excited about that than the Marvel. Star Wars. I mean, they could just go crazy with it. They could do everything they want with it. And I would love it.
And it looks like they're going in the right direction. I've been a Star Wars fan all since they came out originally in the 70s. And I've done a lot of reading, too, where they've kind of continued on with the series after the 6th episode, you know, The Return of the Jedi. And it is a really extensive story, so I'm really looking forward to see which way to go with this. Definitely going to geek out. I'm going to be waiting in line for this one to open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when is the first one? Next, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's slated for December 18th, 2015. So Christmas release 2015.
Yay! And the big tease... the big tease so far has been that they're going to have Han Solo and Leia and Luke Skywalker, but it doesn't sound like they're going to have them a lot. And they are a lot – I'm sorry. They're involved a lot in the storyline. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see which way they go.
And who are they going to cast to play these people?
Well, it's going to be them.
Well, yeah, it's the original actors to play them because they do get older as the story goes on. And again, it depends where they pick up the story.
Right, right. I've read the first, I think, three books after the, you know, episode six. But I haven't, like, I have additional ones. I just haven't read them yet. So, yeah, that'd be interesting.
But those were written after the fact, right?
Yes.
Like, the Star Wars that have been made were the original six books. Then after the movies were made, they started writing these additional books, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Right, and it's funny because you can get the book, a new one released today. The back section of the book, it's almost like three or four pages long, gives you the history throughout all the books, the Star Wars universe, they call it. And it's crazy because with the Clone Wars and everything, they have it going back like 1,000 years in the past to, I don't know, maybe 100 years in the future.
One other movie, just series I wanted to bring up, and it looks like they have the third one set to come out, is... Tron.
I haven't heard about the sequel for or the third one.
It looks like they have one. It's to be announced. It's Tron 3.
Oh, excellent. I saw a really bad goof on YouTube a couple weeks ago. But no, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that it's been announced.
Did you enjoy Tron, the second Tron?
Oh, Tron was incredible. I was a big Tron fan from the beginning. And just... to get Tron, and I tell you what, they advertised it so well beforehand that I think it was an incredible lead up to the movie itself. Did you hear about the what was it? It was about Flynn, the Find Flynn campaign that was going on. They had a website set up, and they had all these scavenger hunts that were set up for the different Comic-Cons they had before the movie was released. I think they had almost 2 years worth of this.
No kidding.
Where they would have these scavenger hunts and people would be running around Philadelphia. You'd take your smartphone, you'd scan things for clues, you go to the next place. And then the main one, you ended up in an arcade that was like Flynn's arcade. And the story was that Flynn's been missing and they're trying to find him. And supposedly the man is covering up and he's not releasing him. And it was a really cool lead up to the movie.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, I actually even have my levels clearance 7 ID badge. You were created on the website with your photograph, and then they let you print it out. But then they also mailed it to you with the lanyard. It was incredible. Really, really that's fun.
That's pretty cool.
I'll have to take a picture of that and post it.
Yeah, I went back and watched, but right before the Neutron came out, I went back and watched the original.
Right.
And it looks so cheesy, but... At the time, aww. You know, oh god, it looks so cheesy.
But you know,
at the time, that was like, Tron. I mean, I still love the movie, but looking at the graphics and all, it was like breaking. It was like,
well, that's what makes it so good now because I remember it then how breaking, how it was that much of a new genre they got into as far as movie making went, that it's still great right now.
I think it's one of the first movies to use. CGI, right?
I would have to think it's going to be at the beginning of that. The guy who did Tron, did you ever hear of a cartoon called The Animal Olympics?
No.
No.
They did a show called The Animal Olympics. I think it was probably around, I want to say the 76 Olympics or the 80 Olympics. And it was an animated cartoon where they had animals being the characters running the different games in the Olympics. And they had Baba Wawa character, and they had the guy who did this did Tron, and in the beginning of that cartoon they have the intro that's done in this really cool Tron like graphics that you could totally see it was this guy first shot, and then he got Tron after that and he ran with it.
Wow.
But yeah, no, Tron 2, like I said, it was a really, really fun movie. I loved it. They had so many good carry-ons from the original. And I'm glad to hear they're going to have part 3 now. It'd be awesome. which would, I would think, based on the end of the second movie, be in the real world. So somehow Tron characters are going to come across, maybe?
Well, I mean, they already have, right?
True.
With
Hold on. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you know what? There's a time limit for spoilers.
Oh, right.
If it's on network TV, you're out of luck. Right.
Five years down the road, it's not a spoiler anymore.
But yeah, they have so many new movies coming out that we're really looking forward to it. Jimmy's got a list in front of him of some of those movies. What kind of stands out? Go ahead and read through what's coming out.
So, coming soon to a theater near you, Muppets Most Wanted.
Can't wait.
Excites me. I thought they did a very, very good job with the last one.
And we didn't mention, and we should probably talk about how Muppets, I thought them reviving the whole Muppets franchise is incredible. So far that they hadn't put a lot of time into that other than an attraction down at Hollywood Studios. I'm so happy to see that they're changing their ways about that now.
Yep. I think the last Muppets, I thought they did a very good job with. This one looks to even be probably better than the last one. You'll probably be lined up for this the night it premieres at its Disney Nature Bears.
I only have to go. I have to go out in the backyard. I can see a bear there.
$1 million arm.
Okay.
I don't know much about that
I read real quick about that. That is cricket players from India. They come to the United States and they basically play on a baseball team and become really good pitchers.
Okay. I'm going to go with Disney Bears. Maleficent, which we saw the previews for that when we went to see Frozen. There's a couple trailers out there that you can go YouTube. Wow. It looks pretty good. Angelina Jolie is Maleficent.
I love Maleficent. She's one of my all-time favorite Disney characters. Anyway, go ahead.
Alexander in the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Okay.
Isn't that a kid's book?
It's a Jim Henson picture, so...
Oh, excellent. That should be really good, then.
Yeah, they're probably going to do a good job with that. Big Based Hero 6, which is a Marvel comic, but it looks like it's more... I looked at it the other day. It looks like it's more anime. It's kind of one of those, almost like Ponyo, or just like more of that Japanese animation.
Mm-hmm.
Into the Woods.
That's a Broadway play?
Yeah, it's based on the Broadway musical.
Oh, wow.
They're doing a Cinderella, Tomorrowland, The Jungle Book.
I wonder if that's going to be animated or live.
It doesn't say.
Uh-huh.
The Good Dinosaur. That's going to be a Pixar movie.
I did hear a little bit about that one. I think the story is that the comet missed the Earth, so the dinosaurs survived and became very intelligent and dominant, and basically we follow one dinosaur who has a pet boy. I forget what the boy's name is, but so kind of gives you an idea.
Alice in Wonderland 2. I'm just going to skip some of these out and go to the ones that we will recognize. Alice in Wonderland 2.
Mm-hmm.
Finding Dory, which was a big deal when they announced that. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Then there's about four or five that just says untitled Pixar films. So it looks like they got some in the works. Then there's the three new Star Wars movies.
They don't have a title for those yet?
Not yet. And then these are all to be announced. They don't have an idea of when they're coming out yet. But there's one called Cruella. There's one named Happily Ever After. There's one called The Beast, which is based on Beauty and the Beast. The Finest Hours. Tron 3.
Oh, there you go.
Artemis Fowl.
Oh, okay, cool.
Terra Incognita. Tribbyville. Untitled sequel to The Oz and Great and Powerful. Flight of the Navigator. And an untitled Pixar movie about Dia de los Muertos.
Okay, cool.
Day of the Dead.
The other day.
Yeah. Flight of the Navigator. Isn't that a remake?
Yeah, I think so.
I like the first one.
Believe so.
Was that the kids?
Yep.
In the spaceship?
One of them went in the spaceship and he comes back and his family's all grown up. Yep.
Is that the spaceship they have on the backlot tour? That silver one? That, like,
Yes, it is.
Cool. Well, that looks like we have a lot to look forward to. Really, really awesome. Well, that's it for this week. We want to hear what you think, though. What movies do you think we missed out on that we should have talked about? Give us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know. We're also looking for people if they want to come on the show. We've had a couple emails, and we hope you're looking forward to some guests as we move on with the show.
And if you're looking to book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise, or anywhere else for that matter, contact me, Jimmy, at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com. You can reach us on Facebook, in the Disney Nerds group, or at Once Upon a Time Travel, LLC. Or you can give us a call at 504-304-4904, and please leave us a message.
And this is Farrah signing off for tonight.
This is Jimmy Quaharini.
And this is Ed. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Everything is satisfied. Zip-a-dee-ay. Wonderful day.